Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got Cruz. 35-30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. The man to my right is Jeff Fiegels. I am John Schmelk. We got you for 1 hour of pure, unadulterated New York Giants talk. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter if you want to get in touch and talk that way. We can chat on social media as well. As the Giants get ready to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, coming off a very tough loss, Jeff, to the New Orleans Saints. We're not going to recap that. Let's look ahead. We've been talking about that all week. And let's talk about this game. A couple things to note heading into this contest, Jeff, for the New York Football Giants. Number one, the injuries. It looks like they're preparing Jason Pierre-Paul to play.
Yep.
Now, we don't know if he's going to play, but we'll see what Tom Coughlin says at his press conference today, which takes place around 1:55. We'll have a definitive word. But he is working in practice. He's doing a lot. And I think the hope is here that if he gets on the field, he can give him 15, 20 snaps in pass rushing situations. And maybe try to get some pressure on the quarterback. How important is it, do you believe, to get JPP on the field this week?
I think it's, well, for the team, I think it's very important. I mean, we obviously, the Giants need some resemblance of a pass rush to get some pressure on Winston. But you have to understand that what this young man is doing is he's coming off of doing nothing really football-wise, just trying to stay in shape. It's not as easy as you think to go out there on that field. So, I mean, I don't know.
He hasn't done anything football-wise since last December. He wasn't here in the spring either because of the contract.
And really, hasn't played at game speed and game tempo and that type of, adrenaline, conditioning levels, all that stuff. So if he does play, you got to understand that he's probably not going to be able to play much, just because of his stamina. But it's important that this guy does get in the lineup because the Giants need him.
They really do. I had a chance to talk to Spags. It's going to be on our radio show, our pregame show on Sunday. And I asked about JPP, and I said, Coach, everyone's asking the same question a week. I'm not going to ask you the same question. How did JPP look in practice?
Right,
because everyone says he looks great.
Good.
And that's fantastic. But then my question for Spags then was, given the fact that he's been in your playbook for 2 weeks, given the fact that he hasn't done football activity until last week, since last December, what are his challenges with all that time off and trying to come back and play so quickly? What can he give you? And his answer, quite frankly, Jeff, was, I don't know. We're going to have to put him out there and see what he can give you because
and
as great as practice is, it's not game speed.
Right.
You're not hitting people with full power pads. You're not using your full force, your hands to grab offensive linemen and try to maneuver them around. It's just different. It's not the same thing. And he said, John, remember back in 2007? You remember this, I'm sure, because every question at training camp that year was, hey, where's Strahan? And Strahan hadn't been on the field since the prior December. He shows up week one with 3 days of practice. He shows up and he looks great. But not everyone's Michael Strahan, a future Hall of Famer either.
No.
So we're going to have to wait and see. Like you said, it has to be a help given what the pass rush has looked like the last few weeks. You throw him out there, you hope for the best. But I think to expect some type of, phenomenal 40-snap, 3-sack performance, this guy's not going to come in here and be the savior.
No, there's no way he's getting that many snaps. But what this does is it at least has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers – they have to prepare for him to be on the field.
Correct.
So I think that takes a little bit of more of a distraction than anything. And if he does get on the field, you have to pay attention to him. The guy had 12.5 sacks last year. So, I mean, obviously he's got the hand issue. They don't know how that's going to affect him. But the speed off the football that he presents, that's something you definitely have to look at. So,
and it would appear that they're using different apparatuses on the hand.
Trying to find something that's going to work.
So I'm sure they're just kind of testing things out, trying to find something that works. And I'm sure I don't know if they'll even know today, but we'll find out on Sunday what he ends up wearing.
I also think, John, that they're trying to experiment with maybe him being in a left-handed stance. How can he stay in the right-handed stance? Is he better off standing up? Those are the kind of things that they're trying to work out, too. And the other team, the Buccaneers, have to prepare for him maybe to be in those different positions too. So,
because I would think the left-handed stance for a right defensive end seems awkward to me.
It would be a little bit awkward.
It seems like, because you know what, you want to get that great jump and get outside and then come back in to start in, because that's where your hand is. I don't know. It just seems like that your body would have to be lined up at a different angle in order to make that left-handed stance.
And I think it's something that takes repetitiveness, muscle memory, that you're going to have to get used to that stance. So maybe he does 100 before he goes to bed every night. I don't know. 100 left-handed stances.
They asked JPP this too. They said he's going to play both sides. Maybe.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe they'll move him to the other side then. And Robert Ayers has had great experience rushing on that end, so they can always do something like that too. So
change it up, man.
And I like what you said. You know, even if JPP doesn't go out there and get three sacks, maybe they have to chip there, so the other defensive end has a chance to make a play.
Or
Jonathan Hankins can make a play inside.
Yeah, I don't think it certainly is ever going to hurt the situation that JPP is even going to maybe we're talking about being in the game. It's going to help at this point because this team is dead last in sacks. Dead last in sacks in the National Football
League.
They
still have nine, right, if I'm not mistaken?
I think it is.
Nine
total? Yeah, it's nine in eight games, so not good.
All right, now let's take a peek at another injury on defense. This one, the news does not appear to be quite as good. Prince Mukamara said yesterday, he's not sure if he's going to play on Sunday. Yeah. They're kind of working him back slowly on the side during practice. I guess he has some type of harness time to – protect that triceps, the pectoral, to make sure he doesn't hurt it. So we'll see about Prince. If he does more in practice tomorrow, maybe. I think this is a game you want him out there. Now, if Vincent Jackson doesn't go, it makes not having Prince maybe not quite as painful. But you want to try to get Prince back out there on the field to help you.
You do, but you want to be careful.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to re-injure it, then you're out for the year.
Yeah, and when you think about a defensive back, not only tackling – but they're also reaching a lot. They're reaching for batting down balls, and so that muscle there is used a lot, and so you have to be very, very careful. This Buccaneers team, their bread and butter is running the football, and when you look at the receptions that this team has, he doesn't spread the ball around very well. I mean, you got one guy, that's Evans, that catches the football, a couple guys out in the backfield.
Well,
but
Jackson, too, when he's healthy.
When he's healthy, exactly. Right. But, he's not healthy, and we don't know if he's going to play,
nope.
But ultimately, so having him out of the lineup would, like you just said, if Prince cannot go, at least that helps a little bit too.
All right, and while we're talking about the defense, let's kind of look at this matchup with the Buccaneers offense. And I think, a lot of the questions in the locker room and stuff were about Jameis Winston, and understandably so, his first overall pick and all that great stuff. And Mike Evans had a great rookie year, I get all that too. But they're the fourth best rushing team in the NFL now. And Doug Martin was the rookie of the year 4 years ago in his first year. This is his fourth season now. He was hurt in year two, only played, I think, four games. He stunk last year, mostly because his supporting cast was terrible. And if you want to run the ball well, you need an offensive line, a quarterback.
Yeah.
You need all these things to help you. But, boy, he looks fantastic. He can do it all. He's got power, got speed, got quickness. He can catch it. He can pass protect. He can do it all.
Well, he can do it all behind what you just said. When you have personnel, when they went out and they got two rookie linemen that are there now that are helping the cause. You got Mankins, that's a good offensive lineman. So, and really, for a rookie quarterback, there's nothing that can do more for a rookie quarterback than a very, very good running game.
Yeah.
and so when you look at their third down percentages, and they're getting into what we call those manageable third down situations. When you can run the football on first and second down, it helps the offense a lot. And it also helps that you see what Jameis Winston did at the very beginning of the season. He was just trying to – he was coming out of college thinking that he could lead this team on his shoulders. And he's soon understanding now that he doesn't have to do that. He's got a guy that he can hand the ball off to and get things done, and then it gets a little bit easier on him. His interceptions are down the last couple games. The first couple, two or three, he threw four in one game. So he's becoming a little bit a smarter player as he gets older, if you will, he's only eight games into the season here. Have they had their bye yet? I'm not sure, but I know what their record is here.
The Bucs right now are 3-4, so
they
had their bye.
They had their bye already.
So. That is correct. And by the way, Winston, just to speak to your point, Jeff, last three games, 2-1, 65% completion percentage, 228 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions, and 110 quarterback rating. So he's done it well, and he did that, by the way, against the Jaguars, the Redskins, and the Falcons. Not terrible defenses.
Yeah, and I think that reading through our stat book here, I saw earlier this morning when I was going through these that he's, of all the guys that were number one draft picks starting, he has the highest quarterback rating. I think Eli Manning had a 55 passer rating in his first seven games as a starter, and I think that Winston is at 85% somewhere in there. So,
and you mentioned the running game too, and I think the Bucs, one of their weaknesses on offense is their offensive line. They're starting a rookie second round pick at left tackle, as you might imagine. He's having some growing pains. The right tackle hasn't played particularly well from time to time this year either. But when you have a guy like Doug Martin who can run the draws, run the screen passes, and do things like that, it does slow down the pass rush a little bit of opponents.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're playing the run first, and, the play action sets in there. Their offense is predicates itself on the run game, and we're going to see how this Giants defense early in the season could stop the run. As of late, they can't stop anything when you think about it. Going into the last game, it was just it's very disturbing when you look at these statistics, and we get these every week. And these numbers just continue to go down, John. The 31st, and then now we've hit the point where they say last on here. They don't even put 32; they put last, which is horrible. Oh man, got a lot of work to do.
A couple injuries with the Bucs. Vincent Jackson has not practiced this week, as we mentioned. So unless something new happens with him today, probably not going to go. Austin Seferian Jenkins, their very talented tight end, was limited for the first 2 days of practice this week. And he said to the media yesterday that I don't want to come back until I'm 100%.
Oh, boy.
Which tells me that, maybe not quite ready yet.
Go ahead, sit out.
I understand, though. If you're a tight end, you got a bad shoulder, you want to be able to block and do all the things you have to do as a tight end to succeed. So that would be great news for the Giants if they don't have to deal with Jackson and Seferian Jenkins, two big, fast guys that can get down the field on you. And one of the things I talked to Spags about, and he was like, yeah, John, this is a huge problem. We got to fix it. Big plays. And early in the year, they did not give up a lot of big plays.
Did not give up this team, no.
Big problem the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and really, that's kind of, when you look at Spags' defense coming into the season, I think that's one thing they wanted to concentrate on is not giving up those big plays. And earlier in the season, they did a nice job at that. But as of late, I mean, last week you had the flea flicker big play. You had the broken coverage where Colson runs for 45, 50 yards, whatever it was. Big plays come from two things. Number one, if you allow to get people over the top of you. And the other thing is miscommunication. And you heard a lot about this week, these coaches talking about, even Coach Johnson and Coach Spags about, Coach Johnson, where did that come from? Coach Coughlin. It was back in my old days from
Coach
Miami.
Coach Johnson is who?
I just said
Jimmy?
Coach Johnson.
From Jimmy? Wow. I was trying to figure out which coach you're talking about.
I meant to say Coughlin.
Like, but Coach Cotite, no?
Communication. No, I'm not going to say his name. But the communication between the secondary and the linebackers and the linebackers and the linemen, I mean, there was a lot of breakdowns last week in that defense and giving up the big plays, and that's certainly something they cannot do against Winston because he will try to make some big plays with his arm because he has an incredible strong arm.
One of the things Spags told me, which I thought was interesting, was that they've had to limit a lot of the pre-snap stuff they're doing, like adjustments and audibles, because of the rotation and linebacker. You don't have the veterans out there that have been there like Beeson.
Yeah.
So that's also limited some of the stuff he can do pre-snap. And if we remember in the preseason, Jeff, and at practice during the summer, there was a lot of readjustments by the defense pre-snap, and that call comes from the middle linebacker based on what the offense is showing you. And they've had to limit that because of all these, rotating pieces of linebacker.
And on Monday, Lance and I were discussing this a little bit. There was a question from one of the callers. It's like, what's wrong with this defense? And my answer to it is I can't tell you everything that's wrong with it. We kind of understand what's going on. But more importantly,
and it's also only an hour show.
It's only an hour show. Yeah, we don't have all week. The other, to me, the biggest thing, I believe, is the inconsistent in the consistency of the personnel on the field.
Right.
Every week it's something here and there and this and that.
Absolutely.
And so what John was alluding to is kind of what we were hitting on Monday was that it's very difficult to have a consistent defense when you have inconsistent personnel every single week in there, especially at your middle linebacker position, because really that is the quarterback of the defense, and you like to have your starting quarterback on the field as much as you can. Talking about the defense, really.
Now, unfortunately for the Giants, it might be another tough day defensively against a very talented offense. And very quickly, Jeff, the good news for the Giants is that it should be a defense that they can make some plays against. The Bucs have had a rotating group of guys based on injury and performance, quite frankly, in their secondary. They've had different starters now. I think this is the third week they're going to have this set of starters together on the field at the same time. But Altron Werner's been in and out. Mike Jenkins has been in and out. Jennings has been in and out. They've had different guys coming in and out of that secondary. So this could be another big game for Eli in this Giants passing attack.
Well, we look at our stats here. The Buccaneers are 32nd in the opposing passer rating at 111 rating. So
that's also not good.
That's not good if you're and especially it's not good when a quarterback like Eli Manning is coming off of the day that he had. I also went back. I don't know where I'm going to find it, but I think that it's in here. When quarterbacks have come off a 6 passing touchdown performance, their next week their record is like 7-1.
It's good.
It's good, and their passer rating is like 100 over 100 and something. 15 or something like that. So that statistic alone.
Here we go. Quarterbacks coming off a game with 6 or more touchdowns. It's only happened 13 times in NFL history. Are 11-2 with a 113 quarterback rating. 320 yards in that game on average. 33 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. So that's pretty darn good.
They also, the Buccaneers defense have the worst, we'll say worst, last, whatever you want to call it, red zone defense in the NFL.
Yes, they do.
So between those two things, I think the Giants go offensively and do exactly what they tried to do, and they did last week. Throw the football.
To me, Jeff, real quick, I'll give you my keys to the game really fast.
Sure.
One, rookie quarterback, I know he's protected the ball better. Get after him, pressure him. He will hold the ball, as most rookie quarterbacks will, trying to find an open receiver. He will force the ball downfield, try to create a couple takeaways on defense. That's number one. The Bucs like to strip the football, the number one, I believe,
they
in forced
really
fumbles.
They are really good, yes.
So, you know, Lovie Smith, cover two, swarm to the ball, strip it away. We know how that defense works. Protect the football. And then I think the third thing is a combination of two things the Bucs are very poor at. The Bucs are a bad third down defensive team, and they're a bad red zone defensive team.
Yeah.
And those are two things that Giants can take advantage of. The Bucs are last in the red zone. They're 27th in third downs. So if the Giants can convert their third downs, score touchdowns when they're inside the 20, and win the turnover battle, I think they'll have a great chance of winning this game.
I agree with some of those. I think me, defensively for this Giants team this week, I think you concentrate on one thing and one thing only. That's what their bread and butter is for the Buccaneers, is running the football. If you stop the football, then you can now create opportunities for your defense to make plays, as they do all year. They've done all year. They're very
opportunistic is what you're looking for.
Yeah, that's the word I continue. Right, Brian? I try to say it every week. I cannot say that word. And I hate it because it's such a great word for what I'm trying to say.
And you know what? Lance loves saying opportunistic. That is one of his favorite words to say. Yeah. That and a game of musical chairs. Those
opportunistic
the
defense. So they be able to get after Jameis Winston and force him into making some turnovers if they can stop the run. Okay? They got to be able to stop the run. Now, you know what? With John Beeson, we don't know what the deal is with him. Is he going to be back this week? The health of some of these guys, so we're going to have to see. But to me, that's done defensively. Offensively, hey, listen, what we just said, I think this team comes out, the Giants got to come out and throw the football and create opportunities in the passing game and still try to run the football.
Yep.
But, their bread and butter is throwing the football. They got guys, all their receivers are what we call, I think, healthy. They've been practicing all week.
Now, Reuben Randall missed the first day of practice.
The first
day. Right?
So, yep. I mean, at least towards the end of the week, they're getting some reps together.
And it looks like Will Tye might be the starter this week at tight end.
That's right, because we got, what happened with
Larry Donnell.
Exactly, Larry. So he's still banged up a little bit. And, and then, listen, special teams. We were hitting on this point last week. What happened in the game? The Buccaneers have a good special teams unit. They got a good returner. And this guy can make some plays in the special team. So button it up, and it's a big game. On the road, got to win. This team is 4-4. Giants can, continue to stay up top of the NFC East, and we'll see what happens. Because as we said on Monday, John, I told a couple of the callers, I said, boys, you guys have to understand that this Giants season is going to be like this. It's not going to – there's no consistency.
It's like a massive cardiac embolism.
It's unbelievable. And so just, put your seatbelt on and get ready for the ride,
All right, Jeff, let's get to it. Let's go to the calls. I want to go to one of our out-of-state calls first. Let's go to line one, Brian, excuse me. Let's go to Nugs to Minnesota first on line one. Nugs, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Good to hear from you, Nugs. How are you?
Yeah. I'm all right, man. I just always have to remind myself and put myself in perspective that I waited till like week 11 last year to have 4 wins under my belt. So,
Hey, look, in luxury, the bottom line, frankly, there are a lot of teams in the NFL right now that would sign up to be 4-4.
Oh, the league is horrible this year. You look at what's
it really,
going on.
It's a rough go.
I mean, you got four teams undefeated in the eighth game, eighth week of the season?
See, I mean, and the argument you make, those are those teams really good, or is the rest of the league just...
I think the rest of the league is horrible.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think it's a combination of both. And I think that, I mean, the silver lining is that we basically, you know, with some late-game decision-making, have turned a 7-1 team into a 4-4 team. I mean, like I said earlier this week, I believe that maybe the Philly game is the only game where we shouldn't have won and we didn't deserve to be on the field with those guys at that point.
Well, no, but, Nugs, hold on a second. That game against the Saints could have went either way. And quite frankly, it took a 1 minute, 60-second, 2 minute drill to beat the 49ers. If Dan Carpenter makes that field goal when you're playing the Bills, the Giants could have lost that game. So these games go back and forth. This team could be 4-4. They could be 6-2. They could be 2-6. But you know what? They're not. They're 4-4. They finish some games well. They finish other games poorly. That's the way the NFL season goes.
And if they were 7-1, everybody would be pumping their chest at that the Giants are that good. Well, we all know there's just smoke and mirrors, really, when you think about it.
I mean, I agree with you guys 100%, but we lose our first two games by what? What, 3 points? We give away 20 points in leads in the last 6 minutes of our first two games. So right there, even if I'll give you the 49ers game, let's say we couldn't get that two-minute drive, and let's say the Philly game still stands the way I look at it, that's 6-2 right there. There's, you know.
No, but Nugs, I'm sure the Cowboys are sitting there. Well, if Matt Castle doesn't throw two picks, we beat the Giants the second time. And I'm sure the Bills are sitting there. If Matt Carpenter makes that field goal, we don't have to go for it on fourth down, then all of a sudden we can win that game. So these things go back and forth. The fact is that the team's 4-4. That's the record they've earned based on the games they've won and they lost.
And they're in first place.
I agree with you. I mean, like I said, I'm still happy.
Of course.
I'm happy that we're looking down at the other guys in our division and not looking up at them right now, you know?
Absolutely.
So, I'm happy that I'm going to get to see Will Ty, you know.
Stony Brook man.
I've been feeling like it's his job, you know, for the last couple of weeks. I mean, I like Larry Donnell. I like his physical attributes. I like what he brings to the table. But I just feel more comfortable when I watch our team and I see Will Ty in there. I don't know, for some reason.
Well, you know what? When you think about Will Ty, you got to give a little. I mean, we hear it enough with Jerry Reese doesn't do this or Jerry Reese found Will Ty, so you got to give him a little kudos for that, right, John?
Absolutely.
I mean,
when
you think about it. So let's call a spade a spade, because I think he's very athletic, which I think that's what the team likes about him.
Yeah, I'm not. I've never been a big Jerry Reese hater. I feel like the only knock that I can say on Jerry Reese is that he's left his eggs in the Beeson basket too long. You know, for the last two seasons, I've been calling them saying, when we first got John Beeson, I was saying, throw out the baby with the bathwater. We're not going to get the best out of this guy. Carolina used him up. And so we've been waiting for three seasons. I mean, this, in my personal opinion, I think that we should just make John Beeson an honorary assistant coach, because that's pretty much what he is. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather just see Unga or who else is hurt on our linebacking core, because
Thomas.
I heard you guys.
JT Thomas, you know, missed a game last week. So that was another guy that was hurt. Jonathan Casillas missed a game earlier in the year. So Devon Kennard missed two games with the hamstring. So you've had a couple guys in and out. Nugs, finish up. You got anything else, or we're going to run?
Oh, no, that was pretty much it. I'm just like, you know, I'm just looking forward to this game. It feels like a game that we should win.
Don't throw that word "should" out there. That's where it gets dangerous.
That's when we're gonna get Charlie on the line.
Nugs, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, dude. Here's the bottom line. All right, in this NFL, unless you're the Patriots and you're playing a team that's, you know, you can play in Blaine Gabbert or something like that, there's no games you should win in this league. All right? Where the Giants are, and frankly, where 95% of the teams in this league are, there's no should or could or anything like that. You gotta go out there and you gotta earn your victories, Jeff.
No, well, listen, especially on the road. I mean, you know, those are the tougher ones to win. But, yeah, I mean, you look at each opponent differently every week. They're different personnel, but they're different situations. And every week you get closer to the end of the season when things start to count. And more importantly, when you start to get into December, this Giants team, if they can stay in first place and get into December and start making some hay, they got a chance to make the playoffs. So I think that's what you have to think about if you're on this team right now. And if that's what I would be thinking about if I was still playing, is the fact that we're in first place. Let's go down to Tampa and get a victory and then come back and then worry about the Patriots next week.
You know, I'll talk about, you know, we should win this game, quote unquote. This Buck team went into Atlanta and beat the Falcons last week. If you recall, the Falcons came to New York and beat the Giants.
Yeah.
In week two, the Buccaneers went into New Orleans and beat the Saints.
Now, I tell you why those got. This is a prime example of underestimating your opponent.
And that
was right there.
Now, for a moment, was Breeze playing that game week two? Or
I don't think so.
That was the game he was out. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But it doesn't matter.
My Falcons point stands.
But really, I mean, you can't underestimate a team ever in this league.
Cannot.
These guys are paid to play football, okay? The coaches are really good. And on any given Sunday, they can put a game plan together against a team and win. Hence the Buccaneers and what they did to Atlanta. In Atlanta.
And especially the way the Giants have been winning primarily with takeaways, those things don't happen all the time. So, again, I'm not trying to say the Giants are going to lose this game, folks, but I just this whole woulda, coulda, and we should and all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, on
fans
paper.
Fans think that way, but it doesn't work that way in the locker room
with the
coaches.
We look at it on paper, and we can say, hey, the Giants team has an advantage over the Buccaneers. But the fact is that they're going on the road. They've got a team that's coming off the last couple weeks of playing very well. You know, so emotions come into effect and things like that. But you're right, John. You can't. We should. No, there's no should. It's we got to go down there and win.
Correct.
That's what it is.
All right, let's go to a line three, Brian. Let's go to Chris in Syracuse next. Chris, what's up?
Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
What's up, bud?
Hey, I was waiting to talk about Will Ty, too. I've been pretty excited about what we're seeing out of him, and I'm hoping, you know, I don't want to jump the gun, but I'm hoping he can come through for us and be a little bit more of the, you know, the traditional blocker. And so far from what I've seen, he's been really good at receiving. But since we already kind of covered that, there's two things you guys kind of mentioned when I was on hold. That number one, when Jeff was talking about the Bucs being the worst red zone defense, he got my dander up because I'm thinking maybe we could rush in for a touchdown. I don't know. That would be nice.
No, Chris, you're right. You're right. You know what? The Giants, and that's a way you become a good red zone team offensively, by running it in and just using the force and strength of their offensive line to do it. And so far this year, the Giants have not been that successful in doing that.
Not at all. If we get down there early in the game and we're on the one or two, I want to see them run it four straight times. I don't even care if we don't get in at this point. I just want to see us run something in on the goal line. And real quick, the other point I wanted to make, and then I'll hop off the line there, but you guys were talking about Lance, so I just thought that I would add one more thing for a little homage to Lance, and that is that you alluded to an opportunistic game of musical chairs. All right. See you later.
Thank
opportunistic. Thank you. I'm getting that word. I'm going to say it 10 times before I go to bed.
Alluded.
Tonight.
And he's right. Lance does like alluded. That is true.
Alluded. When you alluded to. Yeah, he does like alluded.
Meadows' ears are ringing somewhere around here right now. All right, let's go to my man Abdul in Minneapolis. It's Abdul's fault that I had to take a bunch of Jerry Reese calls on Tuesday. Abdul, how are you?
Hey, what's up? I should get together with Nugs. You're both from Minnesota. Probably the only two Giants fans out here.
It might
be. Well, anyway, You guys just mentioned Jerry Reese, and he's been kind of being raked over the coals about, you know, not putting Cruz on IR and, you know, another wasted draft pick with a double O, I think, which is ridiculous. But,
that
you
is
know,
ridiculous.
People need to put, I'll give it a rest. You know, the Giants aren't going to fire the guy. You know, the time for blowing up this team, if you were going to do it, was 2 years ago when they got rid of Gilbride and stuff. Right now, we are in bed with him. It's like we're not going to get rid of him. You know, next year we have a lot of money. It's a big year next year, getting more some free agents and draft picks. It's not going to happen. He's our GM for the foreseeable future. I think his one biggest mistake is it's not his picks, because you know picking is not a science. You know, you get lucky with that, but I think he holds on to players that underperform too long. You know,
such
I think
as
that if there's one big knock on him, he's either too loyal or too stubborn or too whatever. But he has people who underperform, and he keeps them in the lineup for way too long. You know, I think he puts them on scholarship a little too long. That being said, I'm forgetting my second point now. I've been on hold for so long.
That's what it does to your brain.
Well, first of all, Abdul, thank you for holding it. And as you think of your second point, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. All right, you had a few minutes, Abdul. You got your point?
Yeah, I'm blanking. I'll probably, text something or not text.
All right, sounds good, Abdul.
Twitter it. Right, take care, guys.
Thank you,
Abdul. Stay warm up there.
Abdul's usually good for 3 or 4 points. The fact that he forgot number 2 today is a little disconcerting.
That's all right. You know what? We probably hit every one of them that was in his brain already, so he was, stumped.
201-939-4513. Andrew's in New Jersey. Andrew, you're up next. What's up, buddy?
Andrew.
How's it going, guys?
Good. Hey, Andrew.
Please, Mr. Coach Coughlin, Coach Quinn, and Brad Wing, and Ruben Randall, please report to Mr. Mara's office. No, I wasn't going to mention that today, but since we have Seagulls, the punter, in the press conference, the post game, Coach Coughlin said, not the last punt of the game, but the punt right before, that he thought Wing was going to punt it out of bounds because they were punting from midfield. So was Coughlin, you think, covering for the punter, and does he decide if, when he sees the defense, like why didn't he, when he's at midfield, why didn't he angle it out of bounds?
Jeff, will you please explain to the callers why it's really hard to just punt the ball out of bounds whenever you want? I tried to explain this with Lance on Tuesday, but you're here. Please, tell them why it's not just I'm going to put that out of bounds. There's no problem. Go.
I'll be brief on this because we could spend all day this. But the fact is that a lot of times kicking the ball out of bounds is predicated on protection because if you have to angle. So, you got to offset, which we call. So if I'm going to go kick to the ball right, I would offset farther to the left so that when I actually do go to the right to take my angle to kick it out of bounds, I'm still in the middle. Well, you probably are asking yourself, then why don't they do that? Well, the fact is that these young guys, they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to turn and kick it to a spot. They just know how to kick it. And Brad Wing is one of those he's a young guy. He's 2 years in the league. He can hang it up there and kick it to a spot in the middle of the field or to the numbers, but turning his body to the outside, going out of bounds, is tough.
Jeff, Lance May brought this up on Tuesday. Sorry for interrupting. How long did it take you to be in the league before you were comfortable kicking the ball out of bounds?
Eight to ten years. I mean, I developed that skill because, and it helped me. That's what extended my career is because I was able to do that. But it's not as easy as you think. And really, when it all comes down to this, I tweeted out something yesterday. There was a discussion going back and forth. It was a nice kick. It was on the numbers. It was a 46-yard punt. You got to cover it.
Good hang time, too.
Fine. You got to cover it. You can't. And then guess what? Your punter made the tackle. So not only did you not cover it, you didn't even make the tackle. So, the onus goes on a couple of the other people there. So you can't put it all on Brad Wing. I'm sorry. You really can't. And it was an unfortunate penalty that happened. I could tell people all the time, we don't know how to tackle. Punters and kickers are the worst tacklers in the world. All we help is to get the guy down, let alone if we even get his face mask.
Slow him down. You want to make him down. And make him change direction, right?
But, and Brad Wing is one of the best in the league right now at putting that ball inside the 20. So if you get him at the 50-yard line, you know he's going to get that ball inside the 10 by kicking the way he does. And it's just hang time and getting fair catches. So, anyways.
There you go, Andrew. You got anything else for us?
Seagulls, it's so difficult. That's why Seagulls lost his hair.
Exactly. I pulled my hair out because it was so hard.
Well, and that's also the reason that someone wanted to employ him to punt the ball for 30 years in the NFL like they did.
I took it. Exactly. Thank you, Andrew.
One more thing. What do you got?
Ruben Randall, he seems like doesn't always put full effort. That last pass seemed like catchable that Eli threw to him, and he seemed like he gave up. And I was listening to the radio broadcast earlier in the first half, and they said he didn't put any effort to break up a pass that might have been intercepted. And I watched the Dallas-Seattle game, and Sherman was all set for a pick six, and Dez Bryant made sure he didn't get, the interception. He broke. So, and I remember last year there was a pass that floated over his head a little bit, and it got picked off, and he just looked like he kind of stood there and looked at it. So I can't wait till Cruz. Hopefully Cruz could come back and take over. And I think this will be a winnable game. They're not going to have to score 43 points. If they play a clean game and they don't turn over, good special teams, I think 25, 27 points, and they should definitely win this game, which we need. And looking forward to it. Listen to you guys on Monday. Thanks.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, buddy.
201-939-4513. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings before, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. Mark in Maryland's been holding quite a while. Mark, what's going on, pal?
Hi, Mark.
That's how you do. I just want to, you know, I'm a big Giants fan, as you guys know that. I just want to give a shout-out to my boys, my G-men.
Good.
You know, we're going on a roll. Let's get the job done, get this win, and I got y'all back. That's what I got to say, man.
Hey, that's awesome. You know what? You're right.
Thanks for the
get
call.
A win, G-men. Go down to Tampa. It's going to be warm, although it's warm here today. Should be playing golf today. That's what we should be doing, John. But, you know, we got to host the show here.
Well, do you want to call Sperling and then have somebody step in? I'd be happy to go play nine with you before I have to interview Coach at 2 o'clock. I got some time.
Although Don would probably say, no, I'm going to go play golf.
Don is not a golfer.
I know. He can ride the cart.
Yes.
But, so good. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know,
Don will be really good about talking during your backswing, though, I feel like.
I could see him doing that. Exactly. Yeah, he would be good at that. He's a pro at that, you know. But, so good call. Anybody else here?
We got a couple more guys. And now, I think I know who this is. I'm thinking this is Roldy in New York. Roldy, what's up, pal? Hello? Roldy, are you there? All right, who's on line four? I'm talking to somebody here. Going once, going twice, and I hear somebody breathing.
Hello?
Yes, there we go. What do you got?
Come up for air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, we're listening.
Yeah, this is Darnell.
All right, Darnell, what do you got?
Oh, how you doing, man?
We're doing great, man. You're on the air. How are you?
And speak on the Reuben Randall guy.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Darnell, do me a favor. Darnell, do me a favor. Listen through the phone, and you got to turn the volume on your computer down, okay?
No, I just did. That's what I was doing.
Okay,
I was
perfect.
Turning my computer down.
No worries. Go ahead.
I got you. I don't want no echo. Okay.
Excellent.
So, Reuben Randall, he gave up on that last play. He literally did. He had alligator arms. Everybody saw it. The whole world saw it. And I want to be optimistic about this guy, but he never puts effort in. Like, Reuben Randall will catch the ball and jump on the ground. How big is Reuben Randall, first of all? Because I see it all the time. Like, how tall is Reuben Randall?
I think Reuben Randall is, what, about, like, 6'2", 225, Jeff? That sounded right, 6'2", 220, 215?
225.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
And this guy jumps on the ground. This guy jumps on the ground like he's a cheerleader or something. Like, seriously, no one after the catch whatsoever. even with the catch that he made on the sideline, he ran out of bounds before even being touched by a defender. Yes, they were pursuing him, but he ran out of bounds on his own instead of trying to get as much as he could out of the play, right? And then letting them push him out of bounds or whatever the case may be. I know he may be suffering from a little hamstringy or hammy, whatever you want to call it. But that's no excuse. Like, seriously, he has to put forth more effort. I know we're waiting for Cruz is taking forever to get back. They even have to depend on this guy, White, who is auto. I don't know about this guy. He made a catch last week, but he scares me to death. Because it seems like every time that Eli throws him the ball, it's like close, very close to an interception. Extremely close. So hopefully this Will Tye guy can help us out a little bit.
By the way, Reuben Randall, 6'2", 208.
Reuben Randall in passing, let him know. Use his body.
Okay. Well, next time we see him, we'll tell him.
Ronell, I will tell him to keep his eyes open for you especially, okay?
Listen, we're not arguing
with you. I'm 5'9", 185, and I could do better than that. Like, seriously.
All right.
Thank you, Ronell. Appreciate it, man. Good call. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Ken in New Jersey. He's up next. Kenneth?
Kenny.
Hey, guys. Doing?
Very good.
What's up, Ken?
How are you? Happy Friday.
Great show today. Happy Friday. I'm looking forward to the game this weekend. But Andre Williams feels like – I know Reuben Randall's inconsistent, but Andre Williams feels like the most inconsistent, healthy player on our team. I mean – I think he broke for like 10 yards twice this season.
Well, Ken, and I think here's the problem, and I don't disagree with you in terms of his performance, but is his performance inconsistent because his play time is inconsistent? That's the question. I don't know the answer.
That could definitely be it.
Right.
I think that's what it is. I mean, you have these certain backs that like to get into a rhythm or, you know, get into that zone, if you will, but You know, if you're getting in there, they give them series, you know. Jennings will have a series, and then Dark will have a series, and Vereen, and then Williams. You know, then they're not in there for two more series, and then they get back in. So they get, you know, sometimes they only get three plays.
And now, Ken, on the other side of that, and I'm just going by what, you know, Carl Banks is saying during the radio broadcast, and he knows much more about this game than I ever will, that he doesn't think a lot of times he presses the hole well enough. He doesn't make a lot of the right decisions on his cuts. Now, that's stuff that Carl can see that I don't. So do I think Williams has some improvement to make? Absolutely. Do I think maybe some of those bad decisions has to do with the fact he's not in a good rhythm because he doesn't get enough carries? That wouldn't surprise me either. But you're right. Look, I think you would have liked to see more out of Vonjay Williams this year than what you've gotten, Ken. That I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
He ran for 2,000 yards.
I mean, his legs are like tree trunks.
Yeah.
You know, like if he could just get going, I'd just see him running people over, and we get those goal line scores. But I feel like the defense cues on them. They know where the ball's going. Sometimes he struggles. Most of the time, he struggles to get back to the line of scrimmage. I don't know how they're going to split, you know, the carries this week because of Darkwood being hurt. But I feel like he'd do a lot better on a team where, you know, one running back's taking, you know, 70% of the snaps, and he can really get into a rhythm.
Like the Bucs.
I felt like we could have used that. I felt like we could have used him as a good trading player to maybe pick up a linebacker or somebody that could fill in for Beeson, since he just can't stay healthy.
Well, you know, the
trades
league,
are tough in the NFL.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say,
really
the league. I know.
They're really
old.
I know.
You know, I think the trades are just they don't work because of the salary cap. That's what the problem is. You know, the trades were years ago. They may have worked, but nowadays it's just so hard because of salary cap and, you know, and stuff like that.
And Ken, I think too, mid-season it's hard to get a new player and get him into your system while the season's going on.
And the teams don't want to give up their
true.
Draft picks. That's,
well,
their like goal.
Especially since we need a middle linebacker, and you got to get him into the system, and he needs to be able to call the system.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, thank you, Ken.
I mean, Unga, if he stays in, I think he'll do good, but he's got to stay in. It can't be a 1 week here and 1 week there. I think if he stays in for 3-4 straight weeks, we'll have a good middle linebacker.
I hear you.
That's all I got. Thanks for taking my
call,
Ken.
Thank you, Ken. Appreciate you calling in. And you know what? I think Unga will be back this week. You know, we played last week too. He's getting healthier, which is good. And look, you don't want to go to like your third and fourth middle linebacker here. So getting Unga, he's right. Having Unga healthy and on the field, even with his limitations, I think is very important.
And look what happened last week with Brinkley being in there. I mean, that wasn't anything to write home about. You know, we've been waiting for him to get in the game
right.
And see how he could play. But you know, predominantly him and Castillas, they're special teams guys. You know, that's their role. They're not particularly starters on defense. So.
Yeah, so you hope that now that Unga's back, he can stay healthy, stay on the field. He missed the last couple of weeks, and hopefully that'll be the case. Let's go to line three, Brian. Go to Stephanie. Where do you know where Stephanie's calling from? Stephanie, where are you calling from?
I'm in West VA. I'm at home today. I'm off today.
Hi, Stephanie.
Yeah. What's going on, dude? I haven't been a long time since we had a discussion.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, this is the party season, right? This is the party season with mid-season, and I got to give my annual Giants report. But before I do that, I won't be long. I hear all these callers calling and complaining about this player ain't doing this, this player ain't doing this, this defense is horrible, special teams atrocious. The truth of the matter is, all these Abdul's and Andrews and New Jersey's and all these other people, I watched the Bengals game last night, and I watched the Monday night game, you know, all the undefeated teams. The one thing that they have is identity. They got identity in the Patriots and the Broncos. The identity of this team is broken. It's just straight broke. There's no pass rush. There's no dominant tight end over the middle that I've referred to as a shutdown tight end, the shutdown secondary and linebackers defense, and there's no power running game. But when all the Giants fans, I just tweeted out, I went to a blog site called www.fansided.com because I found out that all these coaches, GMs, and presidential football operations are getting fired left and right because they're being incompetent or offensive coordinator. Well, you know, with that product being on the field, in the end, and when you consider ticket holders and all that, that falls, that of course, it falls on the ownership, gentlemen, but it falls at the feet of ownership in the end. You know, I just want all the Giants fans to look at that. Now, going back over the Saints game, we had 36 seconds left to win this game. Both defenses were horrible. The problem why the Giants are losing games in the fourth quarter is because Odell Beckham is not getting the ball. When the game is on the line, you got to target your best player. With 36 seconds left, it's going to have to be a throw down the field to get it a field goal. When you leave no time left for the Saints not to get the ball, period. You even take the time line up for a field goal.
Stephanie, I hear you. But Dwayne Harris was wide open. Frankly, it's a pass that should have been completed. If Dwayne Harris was wide open,
and he was wide open because they were covering. They know who the Giants are trying to go to. Odell Beckham, their best player. So that leaves other guys open, like Dwayne Harris, and it was overthrown. Wasn't a great pass. Wasn't a great catch.
Well, he came and did the best he can. He played well, but you know he dropped the ball. But like I go back to what I say, Thomas, if that's Bill Belichick, he gonna throw that ball. He gonna throw it to Gronkowski. Like last night, the Bengals had an option, but they were so far ahead of Cleveland Brown. They either you got a one and a two. When you got that tight end, what I'm trying to say is, I'm gonna. Beckham and Will Ty. Who's to say that Will Ty wasn't open? He was ready to play. You got to put the. How many games have we won in the past that we throw it to Hakeem Nicks or Victor Cruz? Just go back to the 2011 playoff run or go back to that 2012 Redskins game. We are not targeting Odell Beckham. I'm sorry, people, all these Ruben Randall fans and I like what Dwayne Harris bring on contribute. One other thing I want to point out.
Yeah,
one other thing.
Real quick, Stephanie. We got to run.
Okay, I'm going to make this quick. All right, we had seven. The defense did get a pick six and run it back. DRC MVP defense officer. How come Coughlin didn't put Nikita Whitlock in to try to provide some pressure on Drew Brees? I mean, you don't have to side Drew Brees. You just get up in his face and force him to fumble, you get the ball back to your offense, and then the offense can take time to score another touchdown. We losing these games because of bad play calling and bad coaching decisions.
All right, Stephanie.
We got bad player personnel, but that's all I got to say. This team will not get its identity back until it gets its true identity back.
Roman Oban says hello, by the way, Stephanie.
Right.
Thank you.
They're undefeated. They got defense, running game, a tight end, and a number one receiver. In the case of the Carolina Panthers, it's Greg Olsen and their defense. And Cam playing at a high level.
Thank you, Stephanie.
I want to mention Victor Cruz. I don't know what's going on with him, but he can get out there. He needs to get his butt out there. If he's not fitting his offense, the New York Giants need to trade him to a team that could use this service. And I'm thinking about Carolina, and we need to get some defensive draft, some players from them, or get some draft picks for them. That's all I got to say.
Right. Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Roman Oban sends his regards. 201-93-DIED-4513. Inside joke. Sorry. Let's go to, let's do your DraftKings thing real quick here before we get to our final two calls.
Yeah,
Len, Jeff, I'll get to you in a second. I just want to get you.
Hang in there, Len and Jeff.
We'll get you right here.
I got to read my picks.
That Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. All right, here's Spiegel's DraftKings Week 9 lineup, guys.
All right.
Last week, by the way, you were actually okay.
Didn't come on.
Oh, no, no,
get
no.
On the...
I'm sorry. I take that back. 2 weeks ago, you were okay.
2 weeks.
Two weeks ago, you didn't have one bad one. They were all okay.
All right.
Last week was an absolute disaster.
Yeah, well,
I don't think one guy scored in double digits. It was an absolute, like, just obliteration.
This fantasy thing, it's tough, but, you know, it pays. It pays if you hit it big time.
Let's go.
Like, I'm going to hit it this week.
What do you got today?
Now, if, never played on DraftKings. They offer weekly fantasy football contests with no season-long commitments. So, here you go, guys. At my quarterback position, starting this week, week 9, the one and only QB Peyton Manning. Manning's been He's having a tremendous year, but he's been improving over the past weeks. The main reason why I'm going with Manning this week is because he is playing his former team, which was that. Which team is that? Oh, yeah, the Colts. Well, they're horrible.
And that's just analysis.
Okay, from all-time passing record, which, by the way, all-time passing record is something to be said. He's going to break Favre's record. Expect him to show up on fire and break the record. Manning's listed at $6,300, projected to score 14 points.
And you go with Todd Gurley, the rookie at running back, huh?
How can you not go with this guy, right? I mean, he's currently fifth in most rushing yards in the league, and that's even after missing the first four games. Okay, guys? So Gurley has been averaging over 100 yards per game. Expect him to turn the corner again this week. So $6,900 will get you Todd Gurley. And my last pick is Alshon Jeffrey.
Well, I like that one, actually.
That's a big one. And he's a big guy, too, for my receiver. He's actually my sleeper. So
now you've picked Bear receivers before, and it hasn't worked out too well.
Well, I picked the Bear receiver when I thought Jeffries was going to be hurt, but he's not hurt. So $6,700 projected to score 25 points in my sleeper pick. All right, and that's my DraftKings lineup for this week. Draft your own lineups. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Right
wow.
there.
You are quite the pitch man, Jeff Eagles.
Well, you know what? Hey, we like to pitch DraftKings.
It's
they're one
shame,
of our big sponsors.
It's a
here.
Shame that your picks aren't as good as your pitch.
Well, you know, listen, I try.
Leonard Maryland. Leonard?
Leonard.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How are you, pal?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm on the beach and looking at the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, you're down in Florida already, huh?
Beautiful.
I just want to report to you that if you're coming down for this game, you're not going to need a sweatshirt or even a windbreaker of any kind.
That's what I like
and
to hear.
Hopefully this weather doesn't affect the Giants. It's hot and humid.
Len, I'll tell you what. But Paul Dottino is so excited to do like a 10-mile walk as soon as he lands in Tampa. I'm just going to try to direct him to where they have some of the gators in the swamp so maybe he can, you know, someone can take a little nibble out of him.
Listen, tell him I said he may want to cut that to 5 miles.
Paul loves the heat, man.
Hey, listen, a couple of things. You know, about the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Defensive tackle McCoy.
Oh, he's good.
If there's a better defensive tackle in a 4-3 in the NFL, I'd be hard pressed to find one. He's really good.
He is good.
And I'll tell you what.
He's going to be a load.
Yeah, Len, I'll tell you what. If I'm Tampa, I put him right over Jeff Schwartz and I say, you know what? Go to work.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're giving me a nightmare, John. the other thing is, like you might expect from Lovie Smith, their linebackers are good.
Levante David, Quan Alexander.
The one outside linebacker, David, is a terrific player.
Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, the last two more, we're going to play Tampa on Sunday in New Orleans. Last week, you know, you can get a starting middle linebacker in the draft. I mean, these last two teams, last week, Anthony, and this week, Quan Alexander, fourth-round pick, starting, and I think he was defensive rookie of the year of the week. Well, maybe defensive player of the week. I don't know in the NFC.
2 weeks ago, I think you're right. Yeah. No, you know what? You're right. Last week it was Quan Alexander. He had a big game, and actually his brother was killed like 2 days before the game, and he came out and had a monster game. Absolutely,
brother. Yeah.
Yes. But he's a good player, and that goes to show. You know, if you need to find a middle linebacker, you can find one in the draft.
So what do you say?
Play right away. I mean, these two guys are good examples of that. But I still think the Giants are going to win this game. Listen, just a couple of comments on what some callers said, and I'm going to keep it positive because the callers are great. I love the callers. But, you know, the thing on Reuben Randle that I just can't get my hands around, you know, 19 coaches, their jobs are on the line. I can't believe that they would tolerate this from Reuben if indeed they sensed he was shirking his responsibilities and stepping out of bounds on purpose, not laying it out.
The coaches don't think that, though.
I mean, there's too much at stake. I just can't believe the coaches would allow it if that was the case. I guess, you know, I don't want
probably
to
not the case
about Reuben because it looked awful.
Bingo.
It did look bad. But I just can't believe that the coaches would tolerate that.
Well, if it continues to go the way it does, you got to think to yourself that the coaches do tolerate it. So I don't, you know.
But Len, you said it.
You're right, Jeff. I hope not.
But Len, you said it, though. You said if that's what the coaches think is happening, I don't think that's what the coaches believe is happening.
Well, I don't believe it is either. Or else I believe Tom would sit him down.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, the wide receiver coach isn't going to tolerate that. You know, the offensive coordinator isn't going to tolerate that. So I think they understand what Ruben's going through. Now, look, this is not a defense of Ruben. I'm just saying in this particular instance that I believe they have a sense of what's going on. You know, you look around the league with tight ends and, you know, you got Eifert and, you know, you got other guys, Ebron. You got guys coming out of college. These guys didn't go to the universities that they went to because the coach promised them they would have to block. I mean, these guys, these kind of athletes go to those big-name colleges and universities because they're going to catch the ball. If blocking is your first preference for a tight end, you go to Southern Connecticut State.
You go to
Stony Brook. Convert quarterbacks.
Right.
Those are the guys who are dying to stay in the league. Ebron, I mean, he didn't go to that university because the coach said you're going to block first.
That's fair.
And you know, and the same with Eifert. So, you know, they are great players. I wish we had them on our team because they're good receivers and so forth. But, hey, listen, I kept you too long. Thank you.
Thank you, Len.
And, hey, let's go, Giants. Let's
stay cool down there.
We will see you in Tampa Bay, my friend. Jeff in New Hampshire. Wrap us up, Jeff. You got 3 minutes.
What's up, Jeff?
Hey. How's it going?
Going great, Jeff.
Just wanted to talk with the defense a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what, obviously nobody knows exactly how many snaps or how effective Pierre Paul will be if he plays this weekend.
Our first JPP call of the day. How about that?
Pretty good.
Really, not one all day. That's amazing.
Well,
we opened the show by talking about it a little bit. You know, I think that he can be effective because I think the team has to game plan for him just if he's going to be there. We don't know. Nobody knows how he's going to play, how his stamina is going to hold up. You know, he's learning a new defense. Let's not forget that, too. He's not coming in to repair Fuel's defense. I would imagine that the time that he was gone, that he was talking to someone maybe here and there about the defense, to getting a little head start for when he was to come back. But, you know, all these things to take into consideration for a guy that's coming back who hasn't played football since last year, it's a lot to ask for him to go out and play a whole game. Really, it is.
Well, my expectations are pretty low for him.
What
I would like to see is if he's healthy enough, like we've mentioned, maybe 15, 20 snaps at most. I'd like to see him get a lot of Montre Moore snaps because at the beginning of the season, I was really defending Moore and saying give him a chance. And I haven't seen anything all year other than dumb penalties at really bad times.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a lot of progression out of him. If he takes more snaps, you know, 15 snaps, 20 snaps, I'll be happy with that. I'd like to see Tampa Bay just be aware that he's on the field.
Right.
Maybe put an extra blocker on that side to free up somebody, almost like Odell Beckham. When he's not getting the ball, they're double covering him. Somebody else has got to be open. Same idea with JPP. I'm hoping they're going to pay attention to him. And I'm hoping maybe he can kind of lead by example or help the team in a way. I remember when our pass rush was so good. Pass rush isn't just about sacks. We tend to focus on the sack stat.
Getting pressure
on the quarterback,
yeah.
Getting your hands up, deflecting passes. Playing a rookie quarterback, I don't want him to have clear passing lanes. JPP was always really good about getting his hands up.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't get a sack, he's getting a deflection or getting his hands up. I don't see any of our linemen doing that.
And especially last week.
We're not getting there to get sacks. Let's get our hands up, get in the rookie quarterback's throwing lanes, generate a little bit of pressure that way, not make it so easy on him. I think we got guys, Kerry Wynn's got long arms. Jenkins is a veteran. I'd like to see these guys just get their hands up if they can't get there. Maybe just by that example or just a little bit of leadership in ways like that. You know, he can make a difference, even if he's not coming out there and playing like the Pro Bowl player that he used to be. I'm hoping that can give the defense a little bit of a spark in that regard.
Well, I think they have an opportunity this week because Jameis Winston, two things. Number one, the biggest thing for me is he's a rookie, okay? And so he's going to take a little bit longer than normal to try to wait on routes to develop. So that gives you a little bit of extra time to get there.
And thanks for the call, Jeff. We appreciate it.
The other thing is that he's a pocket passer. He's legitimately going to sit in that pocket. So if you can get some pressure, this has got to change. One day it's going to happen. I just don't know when. And you're hoping that maybe this is the week that it all comes together. You know, JPP comes back, and now that frees up some other guys, and maybe they get a multi-sack game. I don't know, but eventually something's got to give here. And I imagine that because of him, if he comes back this game, I think this could be it.
Jeff?
That's just – I'm going out on a limb here.
Good times.
All right. Thank you, Johnny.
For Jeff Fiegels, I'm John Schmoke. That's Big Blue Kickoff Live. And, of course, folks, one other thing I want to promote before we say goodbye here. Time is running out to get your tickets to the Taste of the Giants presented by Stop and Shop. This great event is taking place on Monday night at 6 p.m. at MetLife Stadium, featuring fine cuisine from the area's top chefs, intended to address the increasing needs of the hungry in our community. Current and former Giants players will be in attendance. Please visit Giants.com/taste. For all ticket and pricing information, all proceeds from the event will benefit Rock and Wrap It Up. It all goes to charity, folks, supporting hunger relief and anti-poverty efforts. That's Giants.com/taste.
That's a great event. It's a great event. So go to that website.
If you're hungry, you can stuff your face.
Yeah, you know what? And you get there's a lot of ex-players, current players that are there. It's a fun time, and it's a for a great cause. So if you like to eat, you need to be there.
No question about it. Enjoy the game this weekend, everybody. Our pregame show starts on WFN at 1:50. Me, Jeff, Lance, Dots, we're with you, and we'll take you right up to kickoff on Sports Radio 66, WFM and 101.9 FM.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you then.
Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.